Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Sacrifice to God. Sacrificial living. I don't know about you, but when I hear the call to sacrifice for Christ and for the church, that is not necessarily something that causes my heart to soar. You? When I think of that word, sacrifice, what comes to mind is all the things you have to give up. What comes to mind is burning yourself out. What comes to mind is whenever somebody says, do this, you do it. Even if you're bone tired and can't take another step. Sacrifice. Sacrificial living. How do you hear those words? For sacrifice, in many ways, lies at the heart of this story that is our story. I mean, in the Old Testament, sacrifice was a way of dealing with all the sin. Animals were brought, placed on an altar, killed, burned, and the aroma from the burning was to be pleasing to the Lord. The Lord might forgive. Of course, in the story, which is our story, there's a shifting that takes place. And the shifting didn't just wait until this second part. For the shifting was starting to happen in the first part, the Hebrew portion of the Bible. Because it's there in certain of the Psalms and in other places where God says, and I love this passage, though it doesn't mean it necessarily as I hear it. God says, I desire no bull from you. Of course, he's talking about an animal there, but I hear something different. Sacrifice. This passage talks about the sacrifice of Christ. Of course, where exactly did that sacrifice take place? Where was the altar? Was the altar there at the end of his earthly life, where he was bruised for our iniquities, where he was stretched out upon a cross and lifted up? Was that the altar? Or was the altar, as the Apostle Paul points out by quoting an early Christian hymn in his letter to the folks in Philippi, that though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but instead he released it and took on the form of a servant, and became obedient, even to the point of death. So was the altar then beginning with the incarnation? God in Christ stepping onto the altar of everyday life. And it continuing on through his life and through his death. Sacrifice. So I look up that word, and in the Greek, the word is thysia, T-H-Y-S-I-A, which which is an act of sacrifice, both pagan and also in the Old Testament, could be taken literally, as it was, or figuratively. In the New Testament, we hear it as referring to the death of Christ, here, as an offering to God. But it also is used, especially in the words of Paul, figuratively of the Christian life as an offering to God. In Romans 12:1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Figuratively, perhaps as gifts. In Philippians, Paul writes, I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, the gifts shared with one another, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. What we share with one another, being a sacrifice. Or in the book of Hebrews, we hear this word sacrifice used in two different ways. Praise being one of them. In chapter 13, verse 15, through him, through Christ, then let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name, that don't speak with a bunch of bull. No, that's my addition there. A sacrifice of praise. Kind of gives a different flavor to that word sacrifice, doesn't it? Are you beginning to hear sacrifice not as something that tears you down when you seek to sacrificially live? But rather, are you starting to hear it as something different? A sacrifice of praise. But in the very next verse in the book of Hebrews, it talks about sharing and doing good. It says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sacrifice is both worship and as fellowship. In both arenas of life, sacrifice in the kind of the vertical, but sacrifice also in the horizontal. Sacrifice is something that builds up rather than tears down. Now, that English word sacrifice, I had to go to Webster's Dictionary to do a little exploration because there's a lot of different words that are sort of connected with that. You know, sacrifice comes from the Latin word sacrificium, and it's an act of offering something precious to a deity. That's what Webster says. And then right after that, I see sacrament. Sacrament. It's from later Latin, sacramentum, or for which comes from sacrare, means to consecrate. It's a formal religious act that is sacred as a sign or symbol of a spiritual reality. And, you know, us brethren, we kind of have a different take on that. It's a take that really encompasses all the, you know, the wider church. But, for instance, we do not call our breaking of bread and drinking from the cup. We do not call our anointing. We do not call these other practices of the church sacraments. We call them ordinances. Because as sacraments, we don't see that sacredness, that what is holy, and I'll get to that word in just a minute, we don't see what is sacred is limited to what we place here when we share communion, or what is sacred in that little vial of oil that I have when I anoint, or, you know, that really all of life is sacred. And we do these things not because they are more sacred than anything else. We do them because Jesus said, do them. And that's why we call them ordinances, which comes from the word order. Jesus says, do it. Sacrifice, sacrament. Now here's that word sacred. I've already mentioned it, the Latin sacrare, which comes from sacer or sacer, which means holy, set apart. Now, if all of life is holy, how can then it be set apart? That's a good question, one to ponder. To see all of life as holy involves the sacrifice of sort of looking at it from an upside down angle, perhaps, or in a different way. Life is not as usual. Life is more, not less. Sacred, set apart for service or worship of the deity. As we were reminded, it's not just worship, it's fellowship, it's our connectedness, our vertical and our horizontal. Now there's another word in here that I found in my Webster's dictionary. Have you heard the word sacrilege? What is sacrilege? Well, it comes from the Latin sacrilegium, which comes from sacrilegius, which means one who steals sacred things. And actually, it's sacer plus legere, which means, legere means to gather, to steal. And from legere, we also get the word legend. So sacrilege is the theft or violation of something consecrated to God. So if all of life is consecrated to God, if our relationships are sacred, and we seek to treat them as not, are we committing a sacrilege? Are we violating what God considers holy, set apart, unique? Now, before I go to that last word that I found in Webster's dictionary, let's just talk about sacrifice in a positive sense. Think of it as releasing. You know, when we anoint someone for healing, we involve a time of confession. And often with confession is the invitation to release some things that may get in the way of a person's ability to receive from God what God so richly wants to provide. An opportunity to speak the truth about oneself. In this passage from Ephesians, we are handed an invitation to face life with open hands and release certain things. Were you listening? There's that invitation to see one another as members, that we are members with one another, and when we speak truth to one another, to recognize that we are connected. One of the things I liked about annual conference this summer in sitting around the table was that recognition that we are connected to one another around that table, which is not as easy when everybody is sitting in rows and you're not really looking at each other. You're kind of looking in the one direction. But when you're sitting around a table, face to face with one another, you're sort of forced to recognize the set apartness of one another, to recognize that you are members with one another. And that gives a whole different take on speaking the truth, doesn't it, Gary? When you pray with one another, can you yell at each other? Well, there may be times for yelling. I mean, Paul goes on to say, be angry. He doesn't say, don't be angry. Shove it all down when you're angry with one another. Just shove it in that little compartment that's down here and thus develop all sorts of physical ailments because you have shoved it deep down. You know that sometimes depression is anger turned inwards. You've heard that one before. Now he says, be angry, but do not sin. And then goes on to say, do not let the sun go down in your anger. And I don't believe he's necessarily there saying, okay, before the sun sets, you've got to deal with all of this stuff. Because every person is different. Every relationship is different. But he's saying, anger can turn into sin depending on how you do it and your recognition of one another. Deal with your anger. Don't make room for the devil, because that's how the evil one gets in there. Things to release. Stealing. Evil talk. Evil talk not meaning cursing. It means evil talk about each other. Did you hear about what Kay did the other day? I don't have anything to share. Letting that go. Because such things grieve the Holy Spirit. They grieve God. Put away, release, sacrifice. Did you hear that? Sacrifice is releasing things that, if you hold on to them, are going to tear you apart. Release wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, malice. And be kind to one another. That doesn't mean, oh, always be nice. But be kind. Which is easier to do when you're face to face around the Lord's table, isn't it? And forgive, because you have been forgiven. Now, sacrifice, I want some of you especially to hear this, because there are some of us who hear the call of God and take on perhaps more than we should in the life of God's people, and feel guilty when you get tired and worn down. You hear sacrifice, sacrificial living, as burning myself out for Christ and the church. And I want to say to you, and you know who you are, that God does not call you to burn yourself out. Title of the sermon is Sacrificial Living. Now, there are things we need to die to. And there may be, just as there has been down through history, sacrifices that God's people have made. For some, in speaking the truth, it led them to their death, or to imprisonment, or to being expelled from certain places. However, you are not called to be the one who crucifies yourself. That's an important difference. We don't get to determine what happens to us in life, but we do get to determine what we do to ourselves. So please, those of you who know, I think you know who you are, don't burn yourself out for God. Learn how to say no when you have reached your limit. Do what you can. God does not call us to take 5 steps in one step, but simply 1 step at a time. To live 1 step at a time, sacrificially. In fact, there was another word in Webster's dictionary that I saw there. And that word I really hadn't run across before. It's actually maybe a medical term, Dave. Is there a bone that's called the sacrum? Where is it, Dave? Show us where it is. Where's the sacrum?
Right here.
Right here. It's the bottom of the the backbone, where the backbone connects to the pelvis. The backbone connects to the pelvis. That's the sacrum, which is sometimes called the holy bone. Which makes sense when you think about it. Because that's, in some ways, what makes us unique as mammals. Because we are upright. You can't stand upright if you haven't got a... Do you see what I'm saying? Sacrificial living helps us to stand and to walk one step at a time. Do you get it? It's for living. Living in Christ. Yes, Christ released his life. He let it go freely. It wasn't taken from him. Scripture says he released it freely. Of course, as that Christ hymn says, therefore God lifted him up high and gave him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the one who raised Jesus from his death, the one who raised him up, will raise us up as well. That's something to remember each and every day as we walk step by step. When we rise, it is the Lord who raises us up. When we breathe, it's the Holy Spirit that breathes in us. As we become what God created us to be.